This morning, I wish everybody had one of these sheets. Everybody would be in anxious anticipation. We have special treats, more than one. We have Brother David Rutland with us this morning to lead us in our worship time this morning, which he's no stranger. He's been here several times, and we just love him when he does come, and are looking forward to the message that he was going to bring for us today, this morning. But we've also got Jackie Smith going to do our special music. And see, everybody would be excited, right? Well, the problem is, he tells me that's a misprint. I said, well, can you hum something? And he wouldn't even agree to that. So we're going to have to scratch out Smith and put Jackie Dennis on there. She'll be doing our special music. So, Brother David, they'll ask you to just come as soon as she gets through with the special music and just lead as the Lord leads you and then close as the Lord sees fit.
You sure you don't want to do this?
So much for having me. I want to read two passages of scripture this morning. The first from Isaiah's writing, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And from Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 19. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came down to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strode it upon the waters and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, 'What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?' And Aaron said, 'Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set in mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not, or we don't know, what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gates of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Let us pray. Awesome and eternal Father, we bow our heads before you in gratitude this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to just be your servant. Lord, we ask you now to take this time and speak to some heart here this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to everyone according to their needs. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here who's lost and undone without Jesus Christ, this might be the day that they decide whose side they're going to be on. Lead us and guide us and direct us in all these things. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. In 1968, I worked for the Home Mission Board. I was the director of military ministries for the New River Baptist Association in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We lived at 100 Red Oak Street in Jacksonville for blocks and blocks and blocks. We were the only house with a fenced-in backyard. That yard was big enough to play ball in. And my two boys and all the other kids from the neighborhood, the boys and the girls, would come to our house. Parents were not afraid to let them come down to the preacher's house because he had a fenced-in backyard. And they knew that once their child got inside that yard, they weren't coming out until they were ready to go home. And they played ball back there. And they played other games back there. But this one day they were playing ball. They had a rule. They had a rule that if you hit the ball over our fence, it was an out. And they wanted you to keep it on the ground so that you could make more play out of it. But if you hit it over the fence, it was an out. My youngest and my oldest were on the same team. And before they started playing, my youngest one said, because he could hit the ball over the fence almost all the time, let's change the rule. He said, if you hit the ball over the fence, let's just make it a double and not an out. And my oldest one looked at him and said, whose side are you on anyway? And I thought about that. And I thought about what Moses had to say here. I started my ministry in 1962. And for 52 years, it has done my heart good to see men and women and boys and girls come together to worship and to praise God. I know that the responsibility that I have as a pastor, as a preacher, is a great responsibility. To lead and guide and direct lost people to the cross of Calvary where they can find Jesus Christ. But I also realize that the responsibility of those that are sitting in the pews is a great responsibility. To take that word, apply it to our daily lives, and to use it as a watchword for us to go out into the world and do God's work, to do God's bidding. So as I stand here this morning, and I look out over this congregation this morning, I find myself wondering, who of you, if I were to come down out of this pulpit and walk down these aisles and look you in the eye and ask you who is on the Lord's side, what would your answer be? Could you honestly this morning say, yes, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm doing God's work. I'm doing what God wanted me to do. I find that question was put to a whole nation of people at one time. Moses had gone up into the mountain to seek guidance for the people of Israel. And there God gave him the Ten Commandments. And he came back down out of that mountain, setting meeting with God. And as he got closer, he heard something. He began to listen. And the closer he got, the louder it got. And when he came around the corner of that mountain, he saw the children of Israel dancing and having a good time around a golden calf. And he became angry. He said, Aaron, what have you done? He said, Moses, don't be mad at me. Aaron must have been a Baptist because he started making excuses. And he started trying to blame it on somebody else. Moses, don't be mad at me. You know how these people are. They said that they didn't know where you were gone, that you'd probably gone over the mountains and gone on your way. So they wanted something that they could touch, something they could feel, something they could see. And I said to them, well, break off your gold and bring it on over here. And they did. And I cast it into the furnace. I was going to burn it up. And you know what happened? Out walked this golden calf. I didn't have anything to do with it. All I did was throw it in the furnace. And out walked this golden calf. And they fell down and started worshiping that calf. And that only made Moses more angry. And so he stood in the midst of the people in the gate. And he said to them, who is on the Lord's side? Come over here with me. Stand with me. I'm on God's side. And if you're on God's side, you come over here and stand with me. And all the household of Levi, the religious set of that day and time, came over and stood with Moses. But Moses declared, who is on the Lord's side? I know this was said years ago. Years before Christ was ever born and come into this world. But it's still important for us to decide this morning who is on the Lord's side. They had turned away from God. Listen, I passed a church this morning on my way over here. There were six cars in the parking lot. Six cars in the parking lot. A year ago, that parking lot was almost full of cars. Those people have turned away from God. They've turned back to the world. They're doing things that they ought not be doing. So were the children of Israel. They were just having a good time. But we see here the power of one man, Moses, filled with fixed principles, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Moses was greater than everybody else on that day. He stood for God. He stood for what was right. And he wanted everybody to be in the same way in that great nation of Israel. And so he declared, who's on the Lord's side? Come over here and let's see what's going to happen. What we need today in our churches is men and women and boys and girls with fixed principles like Moses had. Women who are boys who are girls who are not afraid to stand up and say, I'm on the Lord's side. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm going to be on the Lord's side. And it was that way. It was that way with Moses. Moses was not afraid to say, who's on the Lord's side? One man stood in front of all this great nation, 10,000 people or more, and declared that he was on God's side. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of the Lord, not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. He was on God's side. And so it was with Moses, so it was with Daniel. The king had decreed that whoever prayed would have to go into the lion's den. Daniel was not afraid of that. Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night. Daniel prayed. Prayed to God, and the king, somebody said, old Daniel's over there praying, and the king said, bring him on over here. We'll make an example of him. We'll put him in the lion's den. We haven't fed those lions in about 5 or 6 weeks now. They ought to be hungry. And so we'll throw him in there, and they'll eat him up. And that'll be an example to everybody else. And they'll quit praying to this God, Jehovah. And Daniel said, go ahead and throw me in the lion's den. I don't care. God's going to be with me. I'm on the Lord's side, and God's going to be with me. So they put him in there. And old Daniel just caught one of them lions by the tail and pulled him over in the corner and laid down and used that old lion as a pillow. The next morning the king said, they hadn't eaten him. What's wrong? But then he remembered what Daniel had said. Daniel said, go right ahead, the Lord's going to be with me because I'm on God's side. And that's the way it was with Daniel. That's the way it was with Abraham. That's the way it was with Paul. That's the way it's been over all of these years. 52 years now I've been preaching the gospel. And that's the way it's been. I am on the Lord's side. Are you? Are you on God's side? As we look at this pointed question this morning, I want us to learn some important lessons. The first lesson is this. No one, absolutely no one, regardless of who you are, can avoid taking sides on this matter of God. We can't straddle the fence. There is no middle ground. You can't love God with one hand and love the world with the other hand. You've got to do what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added to you. We cannot avoid taking sides about Jesus. Moses said, I got a question for you. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And that side to take, that call to take sides with Moses, pointed the question at all of those people. Who's on the Lord's side? You think about it this morning. You can't avoid taking sides with Jesus. You've got to take one side or the other. Remember that this question of taking sides is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. If you're here this morning and you're lost, and undone without Jesus Christ, this is the most important decision that you'll ever make. Deciding to be on God's side. Deciding to work for Him. It's easy to understand why God urges people to take sides with Him. Because there's nothing out there. There's nothing else except hell and death and destruction forever and ever. And God doesn't want that. God wants you to be on His side. Here again, the word of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It's God's appointed time. Right now, September the 28th, 2014 at 11:45. It's time to decide whose side you're going to be on. The second thing is I would have you to know that this is your decision. You see, Moses didn't say or command or demand that those people do that. He said, who's on the Lord's side? Come over here. It's your decision. Mama can't make that decision for you. Daddy can't make it for you. Your peers can't make it for you. Those people that you run around with day after day after day, they can't make this decision for you. It's your decision and you've got to make it. As I live it, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye, from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And again, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then again, he says, him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's your decision. Christ will never, ever be at fault if you go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He died in order that you might not go to hell. And it's your decision. And then thirdly, this decision carries with it some obligations. You say, but I thought salvation was free. Salvation is free. But the Bible, the Word of God says, work out thine own salvation. Work. There is something for each and every person to do. God did not save you just so you could sit on a pew and warm a spot in White Creek Baptist Church. He saved you in order that you might do His will. That you might serve Him. You see, this matter of serving God or carries with it the obligation of a personal consecration. I have decided to follow Jesus. No matter what comes or what goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. I am on the Lord's side. It carries with it the obligation of renouncing earthly ties. Get thee behind me, Satan. And don't push. Woman came home from shopping and bought a new dress, rather expensive dress. And when she told her husband about it, he said, what made you do such a thing as that? She said, the devil made me do it. He said, the devil made you do it. She said, yes. Said, I went in that dressing room and I come out and I just sported that thing around. And said, the devil said, buy it. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he said, it looks just as good from the back. We have to deny our earthly ties. Listen, before I was a Christian, before Christ changed me, I went to all kinds of places that I should have never went to start with. But when I got saved, I talked different, I acted different, I went different places. I had different friends, I had different people to be around me and surround me. I had to give up my earthly ties. I had to say, I don't want any more of that devil. Don't tempt me anymore. God saved me from the temptation of the devil. And God did just that. I gave up my earthly ties. And then, it carries with it the obligation of doing the Lord's work. The Lord said, I want you to preach for me. I said, no, Lord, not me. Lord, I don't know anything except picking cotton and watermelons. That's the only thing I know. I'm a little farm boy from South Carolina, and I don't know anything else. The Lord said, I want you to preach for me. And I said, Lord, don't make me preach. Let me teach Sunday school. I'll be a good Sunday school teacher. Best one you've ever seen. Tar Landing Baptist Church in Jacksonville nominated me, elected me, voted on me to be the adult men's Sunday school teacher. And I was just 20 years old. I tried that for a year. Found out I was miserable. The Lord said, I want you to preach. I said, Lord, I can't preach. Don't make me preach. Let me teach. At that time, it was a BYPU. It was training union anyway. It's changed names so many times, I can't keep up with it. What was it?
BTU.
Baptist Training Union. I tried that. I found out I couldn't do it. Lord said, I want you to preach. My wife said, if you preach, I'm leaving. I said, boy, I got God now, right where I want. I said, Lord, my wife says she'd leave me if I start preaching. And you know, you're against divorce anyway, so I can't preach. Lord said, yes, you can. I want you to preach. And Sunday morning, July the 27th, 1962, in Grace Baptist Church, I answered the call to preach. I said, if Brenda's going to leave me. She'll just have to leave me. Joe Townsend stood in front of me and he looked over my shoulder and he broke out in a great big grin. I thought maybe, you know, somebody back there was laughing at me. I turned around and there was Brenda standing right behind me. And she said, if God's called him to preach, he's called me to be Richard's wife. I started then serving God. God's been good to me. Over these last 52 years, God's been good to my family. I have a son who's a deacon in Tar Heel Baptist Church. We serve Center Road Baptist Church as our home church. We're not the pastor there anymore. They called a pastor. I was the interim pastor there, but they called a pastor. But that's where we go to church. God's blessed us over the years. There's some rewards, folks. There's some rewards for this decision. First of all, there's the reward of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is eternal life for the Christian. There's eternal damnation for the sinner. Not only that, but there's also a home in heaven. In John's Gospel, the 14th chapter and first two verses, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." There's a home waiting for you in heaven if you're a Christian this morning, if you're on God's side. There's also the joy of being with the Father, of being with Jesus. First thing I want to do when I get home is I want to see Jesus. Then I want to see my mom, my daddy, all my loved ones that have gone on before me. And I want to look at the Heavenly Father. I want to fall down before the throne. And I want to lay all my treasures that he's given to me over all these years. I'm going to lay him at his feet. And I want to be eternally with my Father, my Heavenly Father. I'm going to spend eternity. If you tell me how long eternity is, I'll tell you how long I'm going to be in heaven. Whose side are you on? It's your decision. You've got to make it. I can't make it. I wish I could, but I can't. You know why I wish I could make it for you? Because it's so much joy to be a Christian. And I don't want anybody to go to heaven. So whose side are you on? Let's pray. Father, as we come to the close of this message, Father, allow the Holy Spirit to just walk in amongst these pews and seek whom you will save this morning. That Christian who's not been living a consecrated, dedicated Christian life, may this be the hour of rededication for that life. Father, I give this invitational time over into your hands and ask you just to use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. I'd have to put my glasses back on, see?
Jesus is Lord of all. Let's stand and sing.